This is fun.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's put our hands together for this knowledge.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the eighth wonder of the world. The flow of the century, always timeless. Thank you for coming out tonight. You could have been anywhere in the world, but you're here with us. We appreciate that. It starts with one thing. I don't know why. It doesn't even matter how hard you try. Keep that in mind. I designed this rhyme to explain in due time. All I know, time is a valuable thing. Watch it fly by as the pendulum swings. Watch it count down to the end of the day. The clock ticks life away and it's so unreal. I didn't look out below. I watched the time go right out the window. Trying to hold on and didn't even know I wasted it all just to watch you go. I kept everything inside and even though I tried, it all fell apart. What it meant to me.
It is the Air Raid Podcast, brought to you by VivaTheMatadors.com. I'm Ryan. I'm joined tonight by Jonathan. How's it going, man?
It's going great. Good day of football today.
Big win for Texas Tech.
That's
all
right.
The haters can, and all the doubters can, shut up for another 2 weeks. Because this was awesome.
It was fun.
Yeah. It was really interesting to see. You know, everybody was kind of concerned about, oh, Mahomes left. Are we going to have the same offense? A lot of people were carrying over the same concerns and results that we had last year with the defense to this year, even before we had a snap, and all that went away.
Mm-hmm.
Everything kind of turned out the way it normally does at Texas Tech. Plug and play on offense, third year defensive coordinator with a bunch of new additions, and of course Cliff Kingsbury in the defensive meetings, because we know that makes all the difference that we saw today.
That's why the defense is great again.
Yeah, I don't know where he's been the last 4 years of why he wasn't in those defensive meetings, but apparently that's where his true calling is.
Maybe Tom Herman and Matt Rhule need to be in the defensive meetings.
Must be. We'll get to that in a minute. 56-10, Texas Tech wins over Eastern Washington. Lots of good stuff to digest. We saw a lot of new faces. A lot of faces that we've heard a lot about, whether it was on scouting reports, recruiting sites, Kingsbury talking about it in the post-practice meeting or media availability. What was the number, like, who kind of stood out to you as far as really excited, good to see, good play of anybody of the new faces that weren't on the team last year?
Easy one is going to be on defense, and that's Tony Jones. He's your kind of reminds me a little bit of Pete Robertson,
mm-hmm.
Kind of player, kind of a what you were calling a raider or a bandit, kind of linebacker, kind of defensive end. Had a key sack in the game after earlier missing on a little bit of a sack because the quarterback got away, and then had an interception as well. And so that's the new face to me that stood out.
Well, it's interesting because Tony came in as a true linebacker, and he was Gibbs kind of said that he's a guy that can run with a wide receiver. That was one of the big things that they really liked about him, is where, you know, either Devonta Hinton last year is not great in coverage. Simply because I don't think he can run with normal wide receivers, and they were looking for a little bit more speed in passing situations, and that's what they got out of him. And then all of a sudden we find him in the Raider position as a stand-up defensive end and doing good things. Like you said, reminded you of Pete Robinson. That's high praise. I don't think you can get much higher praise out of your first game than that. So, what about on offense? Is there anybody else that on offense that really stood out?
Of the new players, I think we're calling him our lightning, or no, our thunder, Desmond Nisby.
Yeah,
he's
you're
just
that big. Your thunder.
He's just, and it's weird because when you see him run, he does look like he is fast. But more than fast, he's just strong. He's not afraid to to go where there's people. A lot of times you'll see Stockton, not that this is a bad thing, but take the easy way, mm-hmm. take the path of least resistance.
Yeah.
Just because he is more of your speed back.
Yeah. He's shifty, but he avoids contact. Yeah.
Right. But Nisby, he knows that the shortest distance between two points is a straight line.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's people in that straight line, too bad. They're going to get out of the way or they're going to get drugged by him. Only had six carries today, but he had 57 yards, and he was a key part of the how the game turned out, because when you have a legitimate rushing attack like we showed today, then you can do play action or run pass option, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it opens up your passing attack even more than it already is.
Absolutely. I think we saw a couple of times where a play action play worked in the passing game, and also outside of the red zone. I know Stockton had a good run out of shotgun, kind of keeping them on their toes with that balance that you were talking about. So really good there. Just so y'all kind of, I kind of attribute Desmond Nisby to like Kenny Williams as far as how he tries to seek out contact. He won't run around you. He'll try to run through you. But just for comparison's sake, Kenny Williams is 5'11", 228 when he was at Tech. Desmond Nisby is 6'1", 235. So a little bit taller, a little bit bigger, and he's also a full-grown man because apparently he's 25.
Yeah.
And he not only is he 25, he's a junior.
Yeah, we still got him another year after this year. Assuming he doesn't win the Heisman.
Yeah, it'll be hard to do it with Stockton running as well as he did.
That's right.
In the Lightning and Thunder, but that's good. It's been a long time since we've had a little Lightning and Thunder where you've got a speed back and a power back working. And so many guys were able to touch the ball today, which is good. You kind of want that, especially going into a bye week. You want a lot of people to touch the ball, a lot of people to get that game experience. It was really important today that Texas Tech did not come out and let Eastern Washington hang around and have one of those Central Arkansas games where you win the game, but it feels like a loss because you struggled so much and you had to keep your starters in for longer than you wanted to. You weren't able to get a lot of rotations in. But from looking at the box score and how many people touched the ball watching it on TV, a lot of people touched the ball with the running game. A lot of people caught the ball. And more importantly, we've talked about this, you and I, Jonathan. We've been adamant proponents that this offense will be more efficient than it was under Mahomes.
Yep. And that's not a knock on Mahomes.
No, not at all.
We all really appreciated the talent that he had and the way that he ran the offense. You don't set records. You don't set game records. You don't get talked about as somebody that was left out of the Heisman because of a team's losing record if you don't have the stats.
Right.
But the way that Šimonek performed today, even those first three drives where we started out slow and we had some three and outs and we were punting, and then we started to roll along and they mentioned that he hadn't thrown an incompletion yet. And I kind of had to think about that because usually when you have three and outs, it's because you have incompletions, and he didn't.
No, it was offensive line and protection, changing protections on the offensive line to pick up a blitzing linebacker, which he apparently didn't do a couple of times on third down.
Right.
I think you said he went 14 for 14. He started 14-14.
Yes.
And he ended 26 14. For 30.
Yep.
And the backups didn't throw an incompletion. So
nope.
as a team, the quarterback core went 31 for 35 for 449 and four touchdowns, zero interceptions. So, again, efficiency right there. You also brought this up about how many people touched the ball rushing in the running game.
Yeah, you had Nisby, Stockton, Felton, Mason Reed, Trey King, Caleb Woodward, Derek Willis. he had a rush. And then, of course, you had three quarterbacks with rushes.
What was the total number of carries and yards that?
As a group, 40 carries and 177 yards for three touchdowns.
It was impressive.
And the longest was 25, so it's not like we broke an 80-yard run that accounted for half of that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's impressive. Texas Tech had 626 yards of total offense. That'll get it done.
Yeah.
They won the turnover battle 3-0. They had 32 first downs to Eastern Washington's 19. It's just absolutely fantastic. And I will say, I've mentioned this in pre-pod, but I'm going to toot my own horn here because everybody laughed. I think we were the only ones, you and I, that thought that we were going to win this game comfortably. Everybody else thought it was going to be a lot closer. And then our good friend Lauren, who we give a hard time a lot of the time, she thought that we were going to lose this game.
There were a lot of people. David Pollack, ESPN, thought we were going to lose this game. He thought that this was going to be the FCS to beat an FBS team. And that happened about 100 miles south of Dallas tonight, not out in West Texas.
Well, to David Pollack, he's a national guy on ESPN, and I'm just going to tell him right now that I called that we would get the turnovers. I thought we'd have a better, more physical ball-hawking defense. We did. I called that we would hold Eastern Washington under 300 yards of total offense. We held them to 301. Šimonek throws for 425 and three touchdowns. He threw for 384 and three touchdowns. And I said we would win 56-17. We won 56-10. Your prediction was 68-24.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why you thought our defense would be that bad, but apparently you didn't have as much faith in them as I did.
I really thought that Eastern Washington would come out on fire, knowing that they had to really, really put some hammer down almost on Tech early and show them that they were not to be taken lightly. I thought they would jump ahead early because I predicted our offense would be slow at the beginning of the game, which they were. I just didn't think that our defense would be able to really hold them down at the beginning, just because Eastern Washington is a very good team, FCS or not. They made it to the, I think, semifinals last year, lost to Youngstown State, and the announcer said that game was in zero-degree weather, and we know how passing teams love to play in cold weather.
Yeah. So you're saying it was the heat and humidity in Lubbock that did them in this time?
Yeah, I looked, and it was 91 in Lubbock, and the humidity was in the 20%. So I don't know that I would necessarily call that humid. And I don't know that I would even call that hot. 91 actually feels pretty good out in Lubbock. But whatever the case may be, yeah, I did think Eastern Washington would jump out early. Something that helped Tech is their receivers were dropping passes. Very first play of the game, pass was a little bit behind the receiver. He didn't have a good handle on it, and ball was ripped out of his hands by, I believe it was Jashawn Johnson, and then recovered by Douglas Coleman.
Mm-hmm.
And that just really, really set the defense off. I think it was on Twitter. It was either Twitter or a post-game recap. Johnson said that the defense saw that the offense wasn't starting off very fast, and so they said they needed to. And that's exactly what they did.
Good advice. Good game plan going in. Before we move on, I didn't see the game firsthand. I didn't see it on TV. I was listening to it on the radio quite a bit. How did the field and the new font on the uniforms look?
The field looked great. The red and the black in the end zones, fresh paint, obviously. It's only had to deal with one West Texas summer. Looked really vibrant. It popped really well on TV. I didn't see many slips, which is something you're always afraid of with brand new turf. Usually it takes about a year for that stuff to kind of settle. But I didn't see any of that. The one problem I did have is the numbers were not as clear as before. Almost look like that the paint just hasn't settled in yet. The uniforms, I really didn't notice the font change that much. Maybe that's just because you don't, during the play, you're not really looking at the font close up. Now, probably if you had somebody wearing an old jersey standing right next to somebody in a new jersey, you would definitely see the difference. But during game, I didn't see any difference in the jersey.
Well, I know to your point about the numbers on the field, I do believe they changed the font on the numbers as well.
Yes, yes, they did.
On those.
And the double T at midfield is bigger, and it looks great.
Bigger?
Yes, they made it bigger.
Hard.
Pretty soon it's going to stretch from the 20 to the 20.
It's going to be...
The field is going to be more red and black than green.
It's going to be more red and black than the Eastern Washington home field.
That's right.
Well, good. I want to take a look right now around the Big 12, what's going on. For those of you that will be listening in tomorrow or early next week, you'll probably know all this. But first, I want to talk about Arizona State. Our next opponent in a couple weeks, barely getting by their opener against New Mexico State. Wasn't a good look. And for everybody that thought that Arizona State was going to be better this year, I didn't really have that feeling because they were so mediocre last year. Even though they hung a bunch of points on us and we made Ballinge look like he was a world beater. You know, they struggled with a lot of teams. I think, what were they, 6-6? 7-6?
I'm not sure what they were last year.
They were right around 500. I don't think that they were I don't think they were as good as when we faced them in 2013 by any stretch. But they only won 35-31.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of assumptions or preconceptions about how this season was going to go, that we are facing one of the hardest schedules in the FBS this year, starting with Eastern Washington, and then we have Arizona State and then Houston on the road.
Not to mention the fact we have our bye week in week two.
Yeah, and then we have 11 straight games. But you're looking at it now where Arizona State, I think that one's, I guess in most people's minds, we're going to have a much better chance of winning that game after seeing them week one than what we thought that they were going to be like this year. You kind of see what's going on with the tragedy in Houston. We scored a lot of money for score on Harvey.
Yes, we did.
That was good. And props to not only Cliff Kingsbury for matching – however many points the donation that the offense scored today, but a lot of other Texas Tech coaches got involved. I know Candy Whitaker got involved. She nominated Coach Stone and Coach Beard as well to make donations for every point that Texas Tech scored. I'm not sure about the amounts. I know we put it on Twitter at one point, but you look at that.
I know from the athletic department, it was $100 per point.
Wow. So you had multiple coaches chipping in. But with all that going on, I heard reports that some of the flooding won't recede for another couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. Houston's field is natural turf. There's a very good chance that this year they may switch the home and home and have Houston play up in Lubbock this year if they don't go to NRG. But I doubt that Houston's playing surface is anywhere near playable or will be in any type of condition to be playable in 3 weeks. And then you've got Oklahoma State to open it up, and even though they played really well against Tulsa, they're typically a slow starter when it comes to conference and even their non-conference games. So
yeah, they get rolling late.
Yeah.
Which is usually when we play them.
Yeah. So a lot of good things here in the early stages to kind of build some momentum, get several wins under our belt. And I know people are going to hate this, but get some wins under our belt early to get a chance to be bowl eligible relatively early in the season and not have to worry about it in the last game. And everybody that's going to be complaining about that comment about we shouldn't be worried about becoming bowl eligible, we should be worried about competing for a Big 12 title. Well, most of y'all were worried about even getting to 600 or 500, 6-6 before this game. Y'all were thinking 4-8. We were heard some jokes about 1-11, you know, 5-7 again, and Kingsbury would be gone. But let's rack up some wins early and shock the world and get bowl eligible early, and then try to make a run from there. I know that's not what we want at Texas Tech, but that's what is. So let's take a look at what we've got around the Big 12 going on. Iowa State beat Northern Iowa 42-24. And they looked pretty good. Defense didn't look all that great, but the offense looked much better than it has in the past. TCU beats Jackson State at home 63-0. Oklahoma takes care of UTEP and Norman 56-7. Kansas State beats Central Arkansas 55-19. Maryland beats Texas in Austin 51-41. Not the best way to start off the Tom Herman era.
No.
I heard that there were only two other coaches in Texas football history to lose their opener. And
really?
Only in this game, Tom Herman's first game, was the only one of those three where Texas has given up that many points in an opener.
They had never given up a point to Maryland in their history. They had outscored them 102-0 in, I think, three games.
I mean, yikes.
They looked a lot – Texas looked like the team from last year.
Except a worse defense, because Charlie Strong tends to run the defense a lot. He's a defensive-minded quarterback.
Their offense looked just as lost.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it was until the third quarter before their offense even scored.
It's definitely an issue going forward. Yes, it's a new coach. He's got a lot of stuff to iron out there, but the talent should be there at Texas. The scary thing is we face them late in the season, gives Tom Herman plenty of time to correct what's ever going on. But I know on Twitter, the comments and the memes and the fake Charlie Strong accounts were merciless. It's like, I know that one said, like fake Charlie Strong was like, it's like, I never left.
Yep. I saw one thing that was making fun of the hype, and it said, well, with this loss, Texas should drop all the way to number 24 next week.
Yep. I think I saw one about Kansas as well.
Well, of course.
Something about like they still have to play Kansas or something. It's been a long day. It's been a long day of following all the college football. In other news, Kansas beats Southeast Missouri 38-16. I said Oklahoma State beat Tulsa 59-24. West Virginia plays Virginia Tech tomorrow. And the other big surprise, and you were following this game pretty closely, Liberty beat Baylor in Waco 48-45.
Yes, and it was just all offense. Both sides. It almost looked like the game against OU last year. Last I looked, Liberty had over 450 or close to 450 yards of passing, which set a school record for them.
Yeah, I think Stephen Calver, Liberty's quarterback, went 44 for 60 for 447 yards, three touchdowns. Antonio Gandy Golden. Antonio Gandy Golden led the team in receiving with, I believe, almost 200 yards. 13 receptions, 192 yards. Yikes. Oh. It's either the end times, or it's 2009 for Baylor. Back, you know, before Baylor fans agreed that the universe was created, before Robert Griffin appeared in 2010. But wow, what yeah, what a opening weekend!
Yeah, not a good day for some teams, and a lot of people had us picked to be the upset, the FCS upset, just because Eastern Washington can score a lot, and in the past few years we haven't been able to stop people from scoring. But we took care of business, and other teams did not.
Yeah, we
USC was playing Western Michigan very close until the fourth quarter. I think for a good little bit, Western Michigan was actually winning. So just not a good weekend for some of the teams. A little bit of a scare put into some. But we get to go into the bye week and rest any players that may have gotten banged up on the first game back. Get everybody up and ready and get ready for this 11-week grueling schedule.
I think it's going to be good. I think there's two ways to look at it. There's keep building momentum,
mm-hmm.
or you can take the defeatist approach and say we need a break. You know, we kind of see it sometimes in big games, big bowl games, where a team will get on a run and the worst thing that can happen to them is halftime is called.
Yep.
And I think that we need to be that type of aggressive attacking mentality and say, you know what? Good. Because we're going to keep rolling through people. We don't want it to be like 2008, where we have a bye week right before a big game and then kind of get in our own way a little bit. Just keep rolling right along. I do find it very interesting that of the three new head coaches in the Big 12, Lincoln Riley, Tom Herman, and
Matt Rhule.
Matt Rhule and Tom Herman lost their openers, which can't make boosters very happy. I think I heard some phone ringing in Austin from all the way here in Dallas. Crazy.
Tom Herman was their savior.
Yeah. I wonder what it was like going into the locker room with all those fancy lockers that they had installed. And they came out before Texas Tech's came out. But I'm just saying, I wonder how it felt going in after losing your opener for your new coach.
Well, somebody said at halftime they could go in and at least see a game that was good. Because the game they were playing in was, especially at halftime, it was pretty pitiful.
With their, 32-inch TVs above their locker?
Yeah, something like that.
Crazy. I almost want to go and find that weightlifting session that they had back in spring ball where it was like a rave. They had like glow sticks and everything. Oh, my goodness. Well, good stuff. Good win for Texas Tech. We get a bye week. We'll have another pod for you next Thursday for the bye week. Kind of going over the Big 12, looking out for any type of news and notes coming out of Lubbock. And then we won't have, obviously, a recap pod that weekend, but we'll be back the following Thursday to preview Arizona State. Any closing thoughts, Jonathan, about the game, players, anything?
To all Tech fans, don't care about the opponent, just care about the result.
Absolutely, because that's what you're supposed to do against bad teams or teams that you're supposed to dominate. You're supposed to dominate them. 56-10, domination.
We
actually may be ranked in the top 100 in offense or defense this week one.
We may be.
How about that?
And we are now tied for first place in the Big 12.
What a time to be alive. Well, thanks for jumping on, Jonathan. I really appreciate it. We'll catch you next time, probably in a couple weeks. But for everybody here at Viva the Matadors, this has been the Air Raid Podcast brought to you by VivaTheMatadors.com.